So let us commence, shall we?
Oh, boom. Hey.
Boom, buddy, boom, commencing. Boom, boom.
We are commencing.
Hello, everyone. I am Molly Wood. Boom, buddy, boom, boom, boom. Indeed. Welcome back to the Make Me Smart Daily Edition. I am here with Kai to help today make sense. I think our previous statement regarding boom is maybe all we got.
boom, boom, boom. Anyway, so this is What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. We answer as many of your questions as we can get to in 15 very quick minutes, and then we get you all on your way. Let us begin. Let us commence.
Let us. I actually just got this question from Michelle on Twitter, Garota's Desk on Twitter, and basically was like, I think we should do this one because she is in the Bay Area also. And the people who are in Northern California or following the news will know that there are a bunch of fires. And she writes in and says, now with fires raging across Northern California and I'm coughing from the ash, I'm wondering who is tracking the production and supply of N95 masks? When will we get to the point where we have enough for the pandemic and fire season? And I was like, oh, guys, we got to do this one because yikes.
Yeah. I don't think we are ever going to get to the point where we have enough, right?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, look, the dark place
so the deal
is
this. Yeah, that's right. The deal is this. The FDA does track this stuff. And if you go to our website, we'll get it on the show page. Tony will get it on there for you. But it's got a device shortage list. It's got a device discontinuance list. And it's all the stuff you would think would be on there, right? It's stuff like gowns and PPE and pumps and like everything. It does not, however, tell you when that stuff's going to be ready. So I know that's not a great answer to the question, but as fire season continues here across much of the West, I heard a story today out of Colorado where there's like four huge fires burning. And obviously here in California and up in the Bay Area as well, which is, of course, part of California. It's just you got to make do and stay inside if you can, I suppose, which is totally the wrong answer, I know.
Well, but it also does, and it points to what is incredibly in this country still an ongoing shortage of PPE.
Yeah.
So N95 masks, I can't imagine that you're not familiar at this point, but N95 masks are the ones that are used to filter out the smallest of particulates. So they use them in hospitals, and a lot of people in California buy them for their like earthquake and other prep kits and started buying them. When the fires got really bad over basically the last, I would say, 2 years, since like 2017 or three. Yeah. Since 2017, we've had essentially a fire season that has necessitated mask wearing because the smoke is so widespread. Yeah, climate change is real, guys. But there, I mean, as it happens, there are a bunch of stories that Tony Wagner found just from the last few days and weeks about how this is a continuing shortage. The one company that makes N95 masks in the United States, 3M, is still unable to keep up. There were a bunch of concerns that America was cutting deals for what were essentially counterfeit masks from China. And the lack of preparedness extends to like hospital gowns. There's gouging. Like we're still, it's still March. Still March.
The other part of this, which is even more irritating, is that as happens with supply and demand being fully in effect in this economy, is that as there are shortages, the prices are going up. So instead of, you know, a buck for a mask or 50 cents for a mask, you're paying, you know, $6, $8, $10, $12, which is bananas. Bananas. So that's the answer to that one.
Yep.
I think.
I know. All so right. Tough one. I would say do all of the same things that you're doing with your existing mask, like with filters, because, don't buy those.
Okay, next one from a teacher, as it happens, Kathy Tarquins. Here's what she says. School will be starting back up for me in a couple of weeks and will be distance teaching at first. As a teacher, I'm concerned about student privacy protection. Which way should I go with teaching this? There's Google Incognito, DuckDuckGo, Mozilla. I don't want to teach something that will give false protections. Can you say face mask debate? LOL. She ends that with. So this one over to you, Ms. Wood, and you know, student privacy writ large, I suppose, but now especially that all students are doing it.
Yep. Or many who aren't will be soon.
Yeah.
This is a super tricky question. It came up as part of our hour-long special about this because there are all of these ed tech companies. I mean, there are all the existing companies, right? Like my kid's school is using Google Classroom. Lots of them are. There are a bunch of Microsoft products. Then all of a sudden, Zoom is part of schools. And as we know, had some high profile privacy lapses. And there are all these ed tech companies who are like, I have a solution for you. I have an app that you can download that gives you a virtual green screen. You can do a book report on it and it's great. And pretty much universally, they're all real vague about their privacy stuff. There is a law. There is a law, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA, and it, you know, essentially forbids companies from collecting certain types of information from kids under 13. But kids over 13 are in middle school and high school. And again, these companies are vague enough about what they're doing that it's real hard to check, frankly.
And I mean, you know, my kids and probably yours and lots of other people's are on Google Classroom like 6 hours a day, and they're using Google Docs and on their Chromebooks, right? I mean, it's you can't not do this stuff. You can't not be online like this.
Yep. And so all of the same things that we're going to try to do ourselves, like use DuckDuckGo or use incognito mode, we can definitely keep trying. But yeah, I mean, you're seeing school age kids signing up for all kinds of services because they have to. And our favorite futurist, Amy Webb, just came out and said that privacy is likely to be a consequence of the, you know, loss of privacy. It's likely to be a casualty of the pandemic. Huh. Yep. We're going to be playing catch up.
Oh,
I mean, this is the question,
there's
Kathy.
Another thing. No, go ahead. Sorry. Playing catch up what? I stepped on you.
No, I know. Oh! What is insane
You know what's
to me?
Crazy? Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. You do your insane and then I'll do my crazy. Go.
Really? Because are they the same? What's crazy is that we apparently have just accepted as a country that this is what has to happen. Like, we've apparently just accepted that there's no way we can fix this.
Right. Right. Yes.
Your turn.
There's many ways that conversation could go. All right. So here's this is crazy part of it. What's crazy is how this pandemic is screwing everything up. Everything.
Yep.
I defy you. Listener to this podcast, please prove me wrong. Right? Make me smart at marketplace.org. Yep. One thing in life that it is not screwing up. It's screwing up a trip to the beach. It's screwing up a good hike. It's screwing up privacy for kids who are learning. It's screwing up. Prove me wrong. Sorry. Okay.
I mean, I feel like in a misguided effort to not just prove you wrong, but I could only make it worse by saying, like, you know, what's not screwing up at all is like the stock market and Apple and billionaires have like increased their wealth by 30%. You really can get mad. You get pretty mad.
Yeah. The disconnect there is whatever. We should do that next Wednesday. Somebody write in and say, hey, Kyle, what the hell's going on with the stock market? And then we'll answer that one.
Maybe we should just do an episode on it because we have gotten a lot of questions from people saying, like, is this the Fed? I mean, somebody tweeted us and was like, can you answer the question of whether the Fed is now in the business of setting stock prices, considering how many corporate bonds they're buying? And I think there's like a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Great. Okay. We'll do that.
Boom. Done.
Bridget. Okay.
That's an episode right there.
I was just FYI. Gonna
say, are you listening?
All right. And finally, we got this question from Michael Whitman, kind of an interesting twist on running the government like a business. He says, corporations have proxy voting, which allows stockholders to vote in person, by mail, online, or by telephone. Why can't we have a system such as that for government elections? I mean...
So look, we can vote in person for an election. Yep. We can vote online increasingly, and it will be the case in most states this year that we can vote by mail.
By mail, not online.
Yeah, by mail. No, online and phone are completely different gizmos. But here's the thing you have to remember. For now, right? You can't tell me that in 10 years there's not going to be an app that we're voting on. Let's reconvene here 10 years from today and we'll talk about an app. Yeah.
Two.
But here's the most, seriously. Here's the most relevant part of the way elections work in this country that is going to prevent or is going to make it harder to come to some kind of universal conclusion. And that is that each of the 50 states gets to decide how it wants to do its balloting. That's just kind of the way that goes. And so we can't really impose constitutionally a thing that says, yep, everybody's doing it this way. as you can see right. by the debate that's been raging in this country the last, you know, 6 weeks or whatever it is. That to me is the biggest challenge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really fair. And we don't have a federal election commission. We haven't had a quorum on the Federal Election Commission since like 2016. So when it comes to even trying to set national standards that states might have to, or, you know, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. But the problem really isn't, like, I think it would be misleading to assume that the problem is the lack of ways to vote. Like, we have the ways to vote. We just keep chipping away at the ways that already exist. And that's a different issue.
Yeah. Did you, I'm sure you didn't because you got better things to do with your time. But my final on the show the other day was the post office having filed earlier this year for a patent for a voting system based on blockchain.
Yeah. I did hear that. Yeah. So, there's a guy, there's a, you know, there are plenty. I mean, there are plenty of guys. There are plenty of people trying to figure out voting by blockchain. And I think it's a long road because adoption is really confusing, but I'm sure we'll get there. They're doing it in Estonia. Yeah. Like there are definitely innovations to make voting easier. We haven't even gotten to the part where it's a national holiday or where you can vote on the weekend. Like we are so.
Yeah.
Yep. We're many steps back.
Many. All right. We end with a quick make me smile question. All right.
Yep. When you do the sad sigh in the make me smile sting,
I'm sorry. That was a little cognitively dissonant. I'm sorry.
It's kind of a mixed message.
That was not intentional.
Did Kai and I mention that our kids are back in school and that is insane?
Oh boy.
Okay. Following up, this is actually a need to know. I also need to know the answer to this question. Following up on Marco Torelli's The Never Ending Story question from last week.
Yes.
Kai, have you watched it?
No, I haven't. I think the marker I put down was the next time Kimberly is in, I will have watched it by then. So let's all get out our calendars and we'll keep me honest.
Bridget, are you listening? Kimberly could come on any day as far as I'm concerned.
Hey now, ho, hey, ho, hey. I need some lead time. Come on. I got things to do with my life. Can't just sit around watching
cocktail hour. Group cocktail hour on Friday and movie review. Let's do it. Oh, YouTube live exclusive. Bridget's like, I quit.
Yeah, right. She's been here for 10 days.
Similar to Erica's snack question, actually, from a couple weeks ago, too. Our digital producer, Tony, wants to know what we are watching because he's out of episodes of Supermarket Sweep on Netflix.
Various members of my family have just discovered and have binged Killing Eve.
So good.
Yeah, so good. Now wait, stop. I'm only through season 2 cuz season 3 is not on Hulu yet. So no spoilers. But anyway,
we just finished
season 2.
Well,
I was just realizing
I might only be on season 1, so I might have some Killing
Eve. You got some good stuff to watch. It's hot.
Cuz
so
I just ran so through my new favorite show. Isn't it so good? So good.
Oh, and the woman who plays Oksana, come on, right? She's so good.
She's amazing. She's that show is so great. Crazy. That is a really good one.
Yeah.
Also, I just finished my favorite show that I literally might just go and start over again, What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu, also on Hulu. So apparently there was this, in 2014, we watched the movie too, it's like a mockumentary about vampires. And it's by Taika. It's hysterical. It's by Taika Waititi, the one who did like the funny Thor movie and Jojo Rabbit. And one of the guys who wrote Flight of the Conchords. So it's exactly that kind of humor. Like it's just understated and hilarious and super smart. And every episode's only like a half hour. So it's completely watchable.
Perfect.
I think it might be one of the funniest shows I have watched in years. Like laugh out loud.
That's
so
what
great.
We're watching.
So clever. There
That's
you go.
What we're watching.
But now
peeps.
I need something new because I ended it.
Yeah. Well, send us your thoughts. Send us your thoughts.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell us what's next. What's next?
Marketplace.org. What should we be watching?
Look at that. 14 minutes
Boom,
and 32
done.
Seconds.
We're out. I got kids to run around now. Holy cow.
Send your questions and comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. We'll be back tomorrow with Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. And I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to be a little hollowed.
No. Kind of feels hollow already, like fading into the hollow. Anyway, Make Me Smart is produced and directed this week by Tony Wagner. He also does digital producing for us. Ben Hethcote does video. Ethan Parrots is Ben's intern. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and our smart speaker skills. We got to find a new phrase. That's just such a clunky phrase.
It is hard to say. It is really not a radio-friendly phrase. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer, God help her, and the executive director of On Demand is Zatara Nieves.
I don't know, Bridget. You applied for this job, so... Surprise!
Surprise! My son and I got so mad at everything that we decided, I was like, today sucks. Let's go to Hawaii. Oh. So we're ordering Hawaiian barbecue. I'm getting out a bunch of luau decorations.
Oh, nice.
We're blowing up the pool, and we're having Hawaii night.
Oh, good for you.
So when in doubt, get a theme.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.